Hello and welcome to a special production from In the Money Media. We are back with the next episode of Racing with Roman. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, in Brooklyn for now, getting ready to head out to Long Island tonight and then fly across the ocean tomorrow for a fun week at Royal Ascot. But this weekend, our attention remains on USA Racing. And when it comes to these Saturdays, we've had a pretty good run of success chatting with the man who is the main guest, the sponsor on these shows. He's a horse owner. He's a bettor. He's Lawrence Roman. Larry, how are things today?
So far, things are good because the races haven't started. Now you have to ask me after the races, and then I'll tell you how things went. But I think last week was a really exciting week for racing. The Belmont Stakes was everything you could imagine, everything you could have predicted. You know, the weather was fantastic. You were up there, so you can give me a feel of the crowd. I could only look on TV, but it looked like it was mobbed. So what was the feel there?
It definitely felt like a Travers Day plus a little bit of extra excitement running a classic race up there. Given how bad the forecast was, I felt like we got as lucky as was reasonably possible with the weather. So that was good, especially on Saturday. It was exciting and definitely the kind of thing that I think will leave a lot of people wanting more. And I wonder, all kinds of rumors swirling about how they might change or expand things next year, possibly going up to Saratoga early. There was some talk about maybe going up and staying up. Some other talk I heard about going up, coming back for a couple of weeks and going back there for 4th of July. But the early returns and the way people bet, it was an unequivocal success as far as that goes.
Yeah. And I think as a horse racing fan, you know, I love the game. Just seeing that, you know, because, you know, there are tons of that aqueduct racetrack, you know, and you see just the spattering of fans watching there. And, you know, they focus on the casino. So you can't even go. If I like to watch from the top of the stretch, you can't.
Right.
So you really have to watch at the finish line. And so it's just a whole different feeling when you're at Aqueduct, where I love to race. But as a fan, I love to be at Saratoga. Saratoga, as an owner, is the most difficult place to run. Everybody's jamming their horses. You're getting full fields. So from the bettor's point of view, it's fantastic. From the business point of view, in general, it's fantastic. From the owner's point of view, it's a tough place to be.
It's hard.
But I always say, a win at Saratoga is worth three wins any other place at the same purses. So you know, you have that excitement. You're in the winner's circle and everybody's watching. And, you know, you're in the big leagues up there. So it was really great. You know, reflecting back on that weekend, you know, we had that Bookham Dano, who was fantastic. You know, this horse has such a turn of foot. And that's why I really liked them. There were a lot of questions, you know, the connections, could he beat these kind of horses, the state bred, all that stuff. But boy, he strutted his stuff. He was getting a little tired there at the end, but that was deservedly so, because he made the first run and opened up. And, I just take nothing away from this horse. And again, I talked about that Pachero is an unknown sire, not really talked about at all. But I've watched, you know, I'm a breeding guy, and I've watched a lot of them, and they're a lot better than advertised. And I also want to tell you, I've been watching, get your feeling on this, Vekoma. He came out with a couple of these two-year-olds, and they sure look good so far.
Absolutely. So far, so good with that one. And it's always fun, these first-year sires. That's something we can talk about more on these shows as the months, the weeks go on. And then also something we're going to be talking about on our baby talk shows that we're doing with our friends at Keeneland Sales. The first one of those is actually coming up early next week. We'll be talking Ascot on that one. But as we go on, try to follow the first and second year sires and the storylines. And you can definitely, I'm sure over the years, your breeding knowledge, especially with these early sires, you can get ahead of these before the market and cash some pretty nice tickets. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, well, Vekoma, yesterday I got beat on one where it was like 9-2, he had the rail at Churchill, and he got beat by a Motown, which surprised me because we were on the rail. But I bet a couple of these Vekomas. I had one. I think he was 8-5. He won by the length of the stretch. He was incredible. I think it was an Asmussen horse. And, you know, I'm like, Vekoma, I love Candy Ride. Vekomas by Candy Ride. And, you know, I always look. Candy Wright had the speed and the toughness, which is what you need. I don't know if this horse, you know, these Vekoma is going to be able to go a distance. We'll see. I'm not sure yet, but we'll see how they do. But certainly as, you know, young horses and, you know, betting them, if I see Vekoma with a good, you know, good dam, you know, I'm just betting them. It's just the way I see it now because, I mean, the power. I mean, they just seem to have tremendous gait speed and power. And we'll see. Time will tell. You know, I don't get too excited on them, but they look good to me so far. Now, getting back to the Belmont Stakes, because we didn't finish our discussion there, you know, in the actual stakes. And, you know, we discussed here, and even Darren came on board. It was, what was the horse that we can make? Mind Frame.
Yes.
I mean, I love this horse. I love him. Why? For two reasons. Number one, I love a horse that's winning, you know, undefeated and winning easily, even though he only had two starts. And number two, you know, I liked his breeding. And I think the three-year-old crop is so suspect. It's just so suspect. And you know, I can't find a horse that looks like he's a dominant horse. I don't think that's been decided yet, which we should talk about later. But, you know, Mind Frame had the 10 posts. And I, you know, people say, oh, well, he's not going to get, you know, dirt kicked in his face. No, but he's going to get caught wide. He's going to have to decide what he's got to do on the turn rather than saving the ground. So that was the only thing that gave me, you know, a question. But I still bet a lot of money on him. I normally bet win in place when I'm betting a price. I didn't in this case. I had him alive in the doubles, and I pounded him. And I think you were there and said to me, I mean, they're coming around the turn. He's moving three wide after being outside the whole way, sir. And, of course, door knocks on the lead. I'm going by door knock. There's no doubt I'm going by door knock because door knock hadn't shown much. He had a hard trip, door knock. He was battling nose to nose, so I got to give him, you know, credit. And certainly, I think this horse is going to go right by. And then all of a sudden, this can only happen to me. What was he doing? And this is a Rad Ortiz on him, the greatest jockey in the history of racing. And the horse bolts to the out. I don't know if it was a bolt. I really don't know.
Just pretty close. Bolts,
or whatever it was. All of a sudden, he ducks to the outside. He lets Dornock get 3-4 lengths in front of him. And then he comes surging again at the wire, which shows it wasn't that he wasn't tired, which is maybe what you would have thought. It was just, I don't
green.
Know, one of those things. The racing god said, Roman, you're not going to win this race.
Well, the so, people who were against us, the people who didn't agree, and he wasn't my top pick, but, you know, I thought it was two-horse race between the favorites. But the people who were against us said things like, too much too soon, he's so inexperienced, maybe that tells on him in a big race. I have to say, based on what we saw that day, they may be right. I mean, it wasn't completely random that the horse with two starts would act green like that. But from where I was sitting, I was in a great spot. I know you like to watch races from the top of the stretch. We talked about that before. That's basically where I was. One of the reasons I love watching there, you see all the momentum. We had all the momentum. 19 out of 20 times, a horse with the momentum that Mind Frame has goes right by. And sometimes when they don't go by, it's a lack of willingness, hanging. He wasn't hanging. He, like you said, bolted and then started coming back. And boy, if he could have run straight, I've said this a couple times during this Triple Crown series, if he could have run straight, he would have won.
Right. And so we'll see, you know, if this was his third race, and we'll see how he matures after. As far as I'm concerned right now, he's the best of the lot. But again, there's nobody I'm going, oh, you know, this is Justify here, or one of these really great. I don't see it here. So that makes it exciting because it's open and, you know, gives one of these horses the ability to step up and show what they are. quite frankly, I was shocked that Dornach won the race because we knew there was going to be speed. You know, if you look at it, I mean, we called the race exactly the way the race was going to go. Who's going to be on the lead? Dornach's going to be pressing,
yep.
You know, and the mind frame is going to break from the outside and settle in. So everything we said would happen, the race went exactly the way we said it. The only difference was he didn't go by Dornach. And the favorite, of course, we knew was going to get out of the gate badly, get away next to last, and then come on in the stretch. But you can't bet a horse as a favorite that always has this trouble at the starting gate. You just can't.
Well, trouble early and trouble late. Between that and the lugging, look, I'm not giving up on Sierra Leone as a horse that could ultimately be the champion of this crop, but it is getting a little tiresome. I'll grant you that.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe he's good in a 6 or 7 horse field, but when these full fields, 10, 12 horses, and you're getting away last, there's all kinds of trouble that you can get in. And if you're a super horse, you can overcome it. I think he's a really good horse. Maybe on the verge of becoming a great horse, maybe, but he's not a great horse. And he's not, what we've seen, horses that just dominate. He's not, even his wins, he doesn't dominate. You know, he's just there. He's there every race. I'll give him that credit. Who would you say is leading right now the number one 3-year-old?
It's such a good question, and it depends on how I tackle the question. If they did the voting today for 3-year-old of the year, I think the votes would go to Mystic Dan. If you were talking about who you want from here to the end of the year, it opens it up. We did a little top 5 list on YouTube, and it was the kind of thing you could put them in any order. I was pretty happy having Sierra Leone and Mindframe as the top 2 in there. But, you know, there's a lot of people who've pointed out, what if Fierceness can get back to his best? He's run the fastest races, the most brilliant races. And then, you know, Baffert has a couple of these runners who might eventually be able to get into that mix as well. So it's not an easy one. And I'm going to give you a lawyerly answer and say it depends. What about you? Who would be your number one? You seem to indicate it was Mindframe now, but I know you're still a Fierceness believer too.
Right. Well, let me first say this. Mystic Dan, and again, I love the connections. I mean, what they've done so far, like you said, is great. But looking into the future, and you know I said that before the race, I was shocked he went off at 5 and 6 to 1. I thought they were going to bet him because of the name. But
yep.
Apparently everybody saw what I saw, which is this horse is really, he raced too much. He had his win. You know, he had his win. He had his fluke in the Kentucky Derby. And you have that fluke. Okay, great. I mean, great. We've seen a lot of flukes in the Derby. But it was a fluke, okay? And you saw when he finished second in the Preakness, he had a perfect trip and was hanging at the end. There's just no way, and I'm not saying it, because after, I said it before the race, there's no way. And so I don't think Mystic Dan is even going to be in the conversation. I would be shocked if this horse is in top 3 in any of the upcoming races. I just think he's one of these horses that's going in the wrong direction. God bless him for what he did. Nobody can take that away from him. It was great to see. And at the Belmont, what was the name of the pitcher that was in with Dornach in the winner's circle?
The baseball player, Jason Worth?
Yeah, the baseball player, the tall guy.
Yeah, Jason Worth.
Jason Worth, okay. You know, I don't really follow baseball that much, but I see this guy towering over it.
Oh, it was great.
Dressed to the nines. It was great.
Yeah.
It really was. Even though I lost the money, I really enjoyed seeing this guy in the winner's circle. And
his quotes were amazing. His quotes were the best. He said it was as good as winning the World Series. The Belmont was a lead-in to baseball. Like, you know, baseball fans are watching that, hearing Jason Worth say, this is as good as winning the World Series and wanting to check out the sport. So I agree with you. It's a good result for racing, even if it kicked me in the tummy a little bit. But the good news is I don't know about your betting. For me, at least this time, I didn't have everything wrapped up in pick fives, pick sixes. I'd hit some of those horses we talked about and given out in other places along the way with singles and doubles. So, you know, I did not, my home run was the outfielder jumped over the wall and pulled it back, but still a good day of racing and a pretty good day of betting. Hopefully you did all right as well.
Yeah, I held my own. I would have made a lot of money had he won. Instead, I lost a little bit of money. I had a couple of, you know, there were a lot of formful races that day.
Yes.
And I bet I'm good. But at the end of the day, to be, you know, to be real successful, I needed my friend. And he didn't get there. He gave a great effort. I think he was the best horse. But we'll see in the next few races about that. While we're on there, I had mentioned to you, I really want to talk about something since, you know, we're only going to do two races today.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really special. But I did want to talk to you about something that I think should concern all of us. And that's part of why I sponsor this program, because I like to get my views out.
Sure.
I'm usually, like most people who are owning racehorses, you pretty much have to be very logical in order to stay in this business for a long time. Because if you're not, I don't care how much money you have, you know, this business will eat you up alive without being logical. And so, you know, I see right now we have a situation in our government. I just looked at Barron's this morning, $34.6 trillion in debt. Okay, so I don't know about you, but that's, my math shows that's about $110,000 per person we owe the government. And, you know, people, well, you know, I'm not going to pay it to them. Yes, you are. One way, either you or your children or your grandchildren, you're going to have to pay off that debt. And so I've been thinking about something, especially the way the stock market is going right now. And I'm really not a Democrat or Republican. I just like the best person and the best ideas. And, you know, I think that we're at a point where we have to, you know, they call it taxing phantom income. I don't call it that. I think in these stocks, you know, that have just run up, take a look at NVIDIA and a bunch of, you got people, you know, making hundreds of billions of dollars, and which is great. I wish everybody makes a fortune of money, but they don't pay taxes. And they don't pay taxes because it's unrealized income is what they claim. But in order to bring this deficit down, we really have to go mark to market at the end of the year, okay? And you can make a certain minimum. I don't want to tax the middle income people, but these rich people got to pay taxes, including myself. Not that I'm in that class with those people, but I'm certainly, you know, comfortable enough. And we got to bring this deficit down. And so people say, well, if you don't have the money, you'll be forced to sell your stock. Yeah, that's right. Go sell your stock, okay? And that will stop these bubbles that are forming. I mean, I don't want to pick out individual stocks, but we all know who they are. And these bubbles are coming, you know, used to be like a stock was worth $500 billion. It was like out of sight. Now you have three companies worth over $3 trillion each. And one of them is, you know, going up to $100 billion a day. That's a lot of money, which is great. Listen, it's great. But you got to pay the taxes. Our government needs to bring down this deficit so badly. Now, I know we have a lot of people in our horse racing business that are very successful on Wall Street, because it's usually the same thought. It's the same thought pattern. You got a guy like Seth Klarman, who I don't know, yeah, wouldn't know him if I met him, heard him on TV once or twice, very logical guy.
Smart.
And he, you know, he names his horses after financial things. So, you know, I'm sure this guy understands what's going on here. And, you know, we all like to see our bank accounts higher and growing and everything. I'm going to see our deficit dropping. And whatever our government has to do, whether it's Democrat or Republican, or I don't really care, this debt at 5%. Now, remember, our interest rates are 5% now. It used to be 1% we were paying on our debt, or 1.25%. So it's now gone up 4 to 5 times. And that deficit, it's going to be over $1 trillion a year just to service the debt. And it's a bomb that's going off. And I don't want to sit here and preach about it, but anybody who's listening to me, watch what's happening out there and understand I'm not talking about 10, 20, 30 years from now. I'm talking about within a couple of years, we're going to be in big trouble if we don't get this debt and deficit under control. And so, you know, that's my speech for, you know, for that. We'll get back to horse racing, but I'm going to keep talking about issues like that, because that's important to all of us, no matter how much money you have or how much money you don't have. You're never going to be able to have money when your debt keeps growing and growing and growing. All right? I know, are you a stock, are you involved in the stock market at all?
Only through intermediaries. I don't do any picking myself. But, I mean, the things you're talking about have obvious knock-on effects to the horse racing industry. And as the sponsor of the show, it's your prerogative to get into this stuff as much as you want. I will say that with little lead time, we should probably pivot to these races and get to that. But yeah, it's a topic we can revisit, maybe specifically with that angle of, you know, how you see it affecting the sales industry, et cetera, down the line. But should we talk a little bit about the Eatontown? I think that's the first of the races on the docket today.
Okay, so we're going to only do two today. We're going to do them quickly. So we're going to go over to... did I change the race I want to do? Oh, no, that's the one on the turf?
Exactly. Race number 9, 4:55 Eastern. We do have 3 scratches here. You can take out the 3, the 4, and the 5. Not sure if that totally affects how you were going to be analyzing the race. The 3 out of there definitely changes it a little bit for me, just in terms of maybe the pace won't be as blazing as I thought it had the potential to be in here. But assuming this is still a race of interest to you with those 3 scratches, let's kick off there.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's what those weren't horses I was focusing on. So in this race, you know, I've talked about, I just love Irish horses on the turf. I don't know if I'm crazy or what.
No, it's great breeding.
I mean, the Great Britain horse is okay. The French horse is okay. But these Irish horses, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I see them as really just great horses. And I look at the number 9 horse, okay? Irish bred, they brought him here, raced him first start, the 32,000 at Tampa on a good track. You know, his favorite, sweeps to the lead. That's understandable, you know, in a cheap class. Now they come up, they bring them to Monmouth in an allowance race. And get away back, circles, and just comes past the field. I just think this horse is ready. He's 6-1 in the morning line. And you know, I don't like sitting here like you watch some of these stations and they're telling you about the 3-5 shot you should bet to win. And 5-2 shot the second, you know. Yeah, I don't need you to tell me that. So I try to pick races where I'm not giving you a favorite. Or we're not talking about a favorite. I think this horse looks really, really good to me. And, you know, yes, Sacred Wish, I think, has a great shot. And the 8-horse Ocean Club, you know, he's a curling out of a warfront. I mean, to me, that just screams turf. That's Green's closing at the end. He's another one. He's at 6-1. So I think it's going to be, you're going to get pretty decent odds in this race. There's nothing that's standing out tremendously. Of course, I think Sacred Wish will be the favorite. But I think those 3 horses, if you're using them in your picks, exact the boxes and everything, those are the 3 horses that I see. What say you?
I was hoping that Spirit and Glory would be the favorite, potentially making the market okay for Sacred Wish, just because Spirit and Glory coming out of that fast bogey, and maybe some people would think would be loose on the lead. I love Sacred Wish in this spot because she did win on the lead last time, but she does not need the lead. And looking at pace figures, I think she'll be able to get a good mid-pack sit if they go running up in front of her, third race off the layoff, I could see getting just a great inside-out trip. And I definitely respect Maman June. That's the 9 runner, your top selection in this race. I was just worried about her on this Monmouth course going a mile on the 16th, being maybe a little bit too far back at this class, and maybe Sacred Wish could get the jump on her. But those are definitely two of the ones I see in the mix in the Eatontown. And I respect Spirit and Glory, but I'm just sort of hoping that there'll be enough other speed that it'll set up for horses coming from off the pace. I will make a note. You talked about Irish breeding, Larry. I did have the opportunity to see the dam sire of Spirit and Glory at the Irish National Stud when we visited there a year ago around Ask It Time. I got to see Invincible Spirit do a live cover, something I'd never seen before, which was pretty cool, and especially for such a successful horse as him. He's just been so great over the years and just part of that great Irish blood that you've been talking about.
Boy, you have some life. That's the dream of everybody. Just going from Ireland, Keeneland, Saratoga.
I follow horses around the world. That's my job. I follow horses around the world.
That's a great name. I'm just jealous, that's all. All right, let's go over quickly to the Big A at Belmont.
Absolutely.
Race 10.
5:13. Yep, 5:13 is the post time. Bed of Roses, fillies and mares, 7 furlongs on the dirt. And this one's clean. All 10 will go. Where do you want to begin the conversation here?
No, I'm going to leave. I want you to be the first to pick.
Okay, I'll do it.
I want to criticize you.
There were... I tell you, we went after, Darren ended up having some good opinions last week. He didn't have to wear that wig after all, speaking of criticism. But I made Big Pond my top pick. I thought Big Pond would get the best trip, honestly. The kind of horse that has good finish, but I think has enough speed to sit in a good position. Has to reverse form with the likes of Leave No Trace. But I thought she was interesting in here. Second time for Bill Mott. Just made all the sense in the world. I was a little bit interested if Begin, the 10 runner, could possibly get loose. She was beaten by several of these last time, including Leave No Trace and Big Pond and Hot Fudge. But you know how it is with these speed horses. If you give me a horse that I'm pretty confident is going to be out there on the front, going a sprint distance, if I'm going to get a big price, 8-10 to 1, I'm going to want that horse on tickets. So those were the main two I wanted to focus on, the 2 and the 10. Are you with me or against me?
Well, Big Pond, I do like. I think Big Pond might be the favorite because he's just, he ran a good race. He's consistent. He's there. Only bad race you see is in a grade 1. This is not a grade 1. This is grade 2. I think the 3 horse Seed has a shot as well. And, this is a kind of race because I think it's kind of open. I don't think anything that's, for sure. I take a horse, this is the way I would bet. I take a horse like Apple Picker, okay, where you got the rail, you got J.R. Velasquez for Sheldon Russell. Horse has been competitive, won a grade 3. You got Michael Dubb. He gives instructions to his jockeys, and he's certainly aggressive. And I think the horse is going to be in the money, 2-3 at worst. So I would take maybe the 2, the 3, the 9, and use them up and down with the 1 to 2nd or 3rd. Okay? He's 15-1 in the morning line. This is the way you make money. Yep. You're not making money betting 6-5 shots or 8-5 shots. I mean, yesterday I was with George Anthony at Meadowlands. We're watching simulcast, and we're seeing these bombs come in 30-1, winning by 8 lengths. It's like, and George goes, "This trainer never won in 72 starts." I said, "Well, he was due. He was due." And George, George gets so excited when he's losing. And so he was, it can't be. No, it happens. And jockeys that you don't know, not the regular jockeys, they do win races. So I just think in these kinds of races, you really got to try to get a long shot into that bet And that's where you make money. That's where your exactas will pay $100, $150. Your trifectas will pay $300 or $400. So in this race, that's what I'm saying. Focus on Apple Picker to get a piece of the pot. He will give you a good effort. There's no doubt in my mind. And we'll see how it goes.
I like it. Well, we got some the same and some different there. A couple of long shot ideas. Me trying Beguine on the outside, Larry King around Apple Picker. Certainly have good connections. Brittany Russell, it's been a while since she's been, last I checked, it had been a while since she won in New York, but I'm not going to let that bother me with a horse at a price. Like you said, maybe she's just due.
So we shall see. Anyway, I appreciate you doing this. Again, we're going to be doing a lot in Saratoga every week.
Love it.
We're going to be sponsoring in Saratoga. We're going to be betting a lot of money. And you can keep tabs, so you can report back since you'll be up there.
Yeah.
You report back how we did.
I will definitely do that. I should have been doing that so far because it is definitely an in-the-black return on investment for us on these shows to this point. Hopefully we'll keep that going today. Should I send it home, Larry?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, we're going to be back very soon with another episode of Racing with Roman. Until then, for Larry, I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos!